Let's come back to my picture. Okay. You know why I could recollect about recording? Because I just wanted to erase the pictures.
Okay.
I realized that then it will be lost. Okay, now we have already started to calculate these homotropy groups of Grassmannian. This is a Grassmannian. And these two pictures were about, first one about the coordinate system in Grassmannian. And I erased this picture. And this one is just about the fiber, that the fiber of this fibration is orthogonal group. Now let me write down the homotropy sequence. So we take R dimensional homotopy group of the Stiefel. It is mapped by this projection to the homotopy group of Grassmannian, which is mapped by the differential of this homotopy sequence to the homotopy group of one dimension less of the orthogonal group, and then to the total space, inclusion to the total space, but this time R minus one dimensional. Now, what we have learned last time was that these groups of Grassmannian, of Stiefel, are trivial when the homotopy, when the dimension is less than n minus k.
Yeah.
And here we have triviality when R minus one is less than n minus k, which means that R is less or equal than n minus k. So when both conditions are fulfilled, then this map is an isomorphism. And this happens when R is less than n minus k, right?
Yeah.
And it is epimorphism in the boundary case when R equals n minus k.
Yeah.
So you see that the homotopy groups of Grassmannian are the same with a shift by one as the homotopy groups of orthogonal. And for orthogonal group, we know some stable part, which happens for large k and small r. So once r is comparatively small, which matches these conditions, by the way, then this O of k has stable homotopy groups. And there is this eight periodicity, both periodicity with period eight.
Yeah.
A couple of remarks about this. First of all, G and K is homeomorphic to another Grassmann. There is duality.
G n minus k.
Yes. G n minus k. This is why this other notation is used.
Yeah.
because then this Grassmannian is identified with a non, well, is indexed by pairs of numbers. And this makes sense, this encapsulates this duality. And we always can choose between k and n minus k. So we always can take, if you like, large n minus k, so that the information about homotopy group would be more complete.
Yeah.
Information which was obtained in this way. Now, what are small groups, groups of small dimensions? Say, what is the fundamental group of G and K? So in this case, it is R, this one, R equals one. And we see that if N minus K greater than one, then this is isomorphic to pi naught of OK.
Yeah.
And this is Z2. Do you agree that this is Z2?
Why? There are two components.
There are two components, of course, and there is only one group consisting of two elements. That's right. That's a legitimate explanation. But moreover, O of K is a group.
Yeah.
So the zeroth homotopy group, which is usually just a set with a marked element, in this situation is a group. And this group is Z2, really. You may consider orthogonal transformation. Each of them may either preserve orientation or reverse orientation.
Yeah.
So the Z2 is exactly that, preserving or reversing orientation.
Yeah.
And we have that pi 1 of G and K is also Z2. When K is small comparatively to N. Well, K is less than N minus one.
Yeah.
And how it looks like. So we have a K plane in N space. And what would be a non-trivial loop starting with this plane? I want to identify elements here. So a path in this Grassmannian is some movement of that plane, which starts and finishes at the same position.
Yeah.
So I have to rotate it somehow. And when such a loop is trivial, when is it non-trivial? So again, we have a subspace. How can I say if my loop could be deformed to a constant loop? I give you a hint. We consider this homomorphism, it is differential. What does it mean? So to identify what happens to your loop, you look to the image of this loop. So the original loop is in the base of this space. So you start with a plane, you rotate it somehow, and you come back. You could drag, you could leave, lift this path to VNK, to the total space of this vibration. So this turns into a movement of a frame. And at the end of this loop, at the end of this path, oh, this loop is not a loop anymore after lifting. You just look to have to look at the final stage.
Yeah.
At the final stage, you have a map from the original frame in the subspace to a new frame in the subspace.
Yeah.
Which was obtained by dragging.
Yeah.
So the answer is that this fundamental group is identified with what happens to the frame. Is it preserved orientation or reverse?
Yeah.
Is it preserving orientation or reversing? So whatever is movement of your plane, you may trace not just frame, but orientation in this subspace.
Yeah.
And at the end of the path, you look if it is the same orientation as before or the orientation has changed.
Yeah.
By the way, do you know what is orientation?
Yeah.
What is orientation?
It's just like order of the bases.
It's a traditional answer. Let me then ask a traditional provocative question. What is the orientation of the null dimensional space?
Zero dimension.
Yeah, you have a space, spaces of all dimensions starting from zero. What about zero dimensional space? You may take bases in this space, and there is only one basis as far as I know. It's empty, right?
Yeah.
And I cannot imagine that there are two different bases there, only one.
Yeah.
So this means that in zero-dimensional space, there is only one orientation. Is it right?
I'm not sure.
No, it's not. Orientation of zero-dimensional space is an easy subject, but it is not trivial. So let me tell you correct answer, elementary correct answer. There are less elementary correct answers, but I will stay with the most elementary one that I know. According to this answer, orientation is not a class of bases. It is a function on the set of bases.
Yeah.
It takes two values. It may take two values, plus one and minus one. And the condition on this function, so there, if the dimension is not zero, there are a huge number of bases. But orientation is a sort of continuous. And moreover, it's not enough here. The orientation has the following property. when you change from one basis to another one, the function, the values of function of your orientation on this basis changes by a factor which is the determinant of the transition matrix.
Okay.
When you change from one basis to another one, you have orthogonal matrix. Orthogonal matrix has a determinant. Determinant must be either plus one or minus one for orthogonal matrix. So the change of this value of orientation is exactly this change of the matrix of the transition matrix. Determinant of the transition matrix.
Yeah.
Then for zero dimensional space, there are two orientations. You have empty basis, only one. So the set of bases consists of a single element, but functions on with values plus minus one are two. One function takes on this standard basis value one, and this is the standard orientation, positive orientation of this basis, of this space. And the other takes value negative one. The difference between orientations in zero dimensional case and high dimensional case that is that in this zero dimensional case, there are two standard orientations and they are distinguished. One of them is positive, another one is negative. For high dimensional space, they are not distinguishable. There is a linear transformation of the whole space, which switches, which maps one orientation to another one.
Yeah.
But anyway, here is, I mentioned this definition because I know that there is usual misconception about that, and I wanted to fix it. In our situation, the spaces are not zero dimensional. Why not? May K be zero? Then I am in trouble with defining O of zero. Let us skip this. I didn't think through this. Okay, so this is about fundamental group. Now the next group is pi 2. And we have, according to this homotopy sequence, the differential for dimensions when 2 is less than n minus k, so n is greater than k plus 2. Okay. Isomorphism and pi 1 of OK is what?
OK is VKK. Pi 1.
We discussed this in the last lecture.
Yeah.
It is Z2 when K is greater than 2. starting from 3. When k equals 3, O of k, well, O of k consists of two connected components. And each connected component in this case is RP3. RP3 has fundamental group Z2. And then the homomorphism increasing dimension is an isomorphism, so it is always in high degrees is Z2 for higher k. By the way, of course, the fundamental group for OK and SOK are the same. OK is just two copies of the sum of two copies of OK. And since we have here the fundamental group isomorphic to Z2, there is a universal covering space, which is two-fold covering. You can consider two-fold covering. Do you know how this covering space is called?
No.
It is spin K. It is another classical group. For K equals 3, this spin K is S3. It is just a two-fold covering of RP3, so it's not surprising that it is a sphere. But this is also the group of unit quaternions. So it can be identified with SU2.
Yeah.
Special unitary matrices. In general, spin K is just twofold covering of SOK. The group operation can be lifted. So how should we think about this spin K? There are explicit algebraic construction. I don't have time now to discuss this. I just want to tell you how should we think, and this is quite clear, about spin K. It is the same rotations of the k-dimensional space, but rotation by 2 pi is not identity. Rotation by the full angle is identity in SOK.
Yeah.
In spin K, when you make this rotation, when you lift this rotation from SOK to spin K, you get a path connecting rotation, identical rotation when you do nothing, and rotation by this 2 pi, but it is non-trivial. What is trivial if you do this twice? So rotation by 2 pi is non-trivial, the rotation by 4 pi is trivial. So it is like that. If you just start rotate k-dimensional space around some k minus 2 dimensional axis, after rotation by 2 pi you obtain identical transformation in the orthogonal group, but when you lift it standardly to spin, it is just antipodal map sort of. In the case k equals 3, it is really antipodal map of S3. Okay. S3 is this spin 3. Yes. This two-fold covering can be duplicated to have a covering of OK. because OK is just made of two copies of SOK. You can take two copies of this covering over each connected component the same. But what is interesting is that the algebraic operation, the group operation there, which of course can be lifted from here, is not unique. There are two operations, and we have two groups. Atiyah suggested to denote this, to call this group pin group. Look, spin can be obtained from SO by removing S, we get this. But there is non-uniqueness, and the non-uniqueness is exactly about this lifting. In one case, it is of order 4, element of order 4, in the other, it is Z2 plus Z2. Okay, anyway, this was digression. And the homotopy groups of Grassmannian are important for the reasons of homotopy classification of vibrations. So when we want to classify say vibrations over spheres, we have to consider this group. So pi 2 is just the set of k vector bundles, k dimensional vector bundles over two dimensional sphere. And so for any dimension, we can identify pi r of gnk with the classes of vector bundles over SR. Because of the theorem that you... Well, not exactly. Because in the classification theorem, you have infinity. To consider what we have to consider infinity k, right? Yeah. But there is a stabilization here, and sometimes it is enough to consider fine dimension. Anyway. Let's look at other groups now. So far, we treated real bundles, real spaces, subspaces of real spaces, real frames. But you can do this for any field, and sometimes it is as classical as in real situation. Namely, you can consider in n-dimensional complex vector space k-frames. Yeah, by the way, let me step back. So when we considered K-frames in Rn, when we consider Vnk, the Stifel manifold, another interpretation of the frame is orthogonal embedding. isometric embedding. Each K frame, if it is orthonormal, can be interpreted as a matrix of map from RK to RN. And since this matrix is orthonormal, this is a map preserving distances. So it is isometric embedding. So V and K can be considered as isometric embedding of RK to RN. And the same can be done, of course, for a complex situation when we consider CK and its embeddings in CN. We'll just take basis. So it is K frame in n dimensional space, but now the condition on the vectors of this frame. Is that the matrix is unitary. So each vector is of length one, and Hermitian product of two different vectors is zero, but Hermitian product is not just usual dot product, it is sesquilinear map. So this is the difference. Okay, then we can consider what we will denote C, V, and K, so complex Stifel. And for complex Stifel, we can write down the same, you may consider the same vibration as in the real situation. So we can forget all the vectors besides one. And this would give you a map to a sphere of what dimension? You have a K frame in n-dimensional complex space, and now out of this K vectors, you forget all but one. This one is a point in what is the unit sphere in CN?
S2 minus 1.
Of course, it is S2 minus 1. So we have a map like this. This is also a smooth vibration. The fiber is CV complex Stifel in n-dimensional space. Now we can see the K minus one frames. Orthonormal again. We can write down the same sequence. Say, I start with base R plus one of S to N minus one. Then I go to by differential to the fiber. then inclusion to the total space, then projection to the sphere, to the base. And now we can use the same similar statements, but now it looks differently. When R plus 1 is less than 2n minus 1, then this is trivial. The first one. For the second one, we have to write that it is trivial when R is less than 2n minus 1. So when both of these statements hold true, then this is an isomorphism. So this is an isomorphism when R is less than 2n minus 2. And it is an epimorphism, surjective, where in the border case, when R equals to n minus 2, right?
Yeah.
We can consider this as in the previous setup. For small dimensions. So in this way we can obtain that this space is 2n minus k connected. This complex Stiefel is 2n minus k connected. So we may start with k equals 0, then this consists of single point. Wait a moment. And the groups are trivial. And then you can increase dimension up to dimension 2n minus 2. Wait a moment, where is k here? Somehow missed k. Ah, of course. It is not 2n minus 2, I wrote. Wrong thing. It is 2n minus 2k. No. I think that at the end of the lecture, this new system is more tiring than in the usual lecture. We both made some funny things. Let me check what was last time. I made this calculation for it's really I started to use another vibration. There is this vibration and it may, of course, give good results. but it is not what was similar, what would be similar to the vibration considered last time. Namely, last time I considered projection from Stiefel to Stiefel with one less vectors. I didn't forget all but one, but I forgot one.
Yeah.
And then the fiber was S. K minus one. Then, but now it is in the complex space, so it is 2k minus one. Right. So, of course, what is written here, what we did here, makes sense. And it's interesting to look to what it leads. Look here. The sphere is the same for any k.
Yeah.
And we just increase k one by one. So if we start with CVN zero, which we can do, this is zero frame, so it is, it has no, so it is just a point. We can do this vibration one by one. Well, of course, in the first case, it will be just what point goes to sphere. This would be the same space as that. But when we increase k, it changes. And this is isomorphism until we will really exhaust this k. K will raise to N.
Yeah.
But the dimension of homotopy group will stay the same, and it would be trivial till then. Okay. Okay. Oh, it doesn't match what I know. I know that this is really 2n minus k connected, and I write proved that it is 2n connected, 2n minus 2 connected. Something is wrong. Jinbang, I suggest that we will stop here.
Okay.
And figure out by the next lecture how to solve this contradiction.
Okay.
So what is really a calculation for that range of groups? And on the other hand, what does this calculation give for real Stiefel over real numbers, if I would consider not this vibration, but vibration over a sphere. Let us do this little investigation to bridge between the lectures.
Okay.
Okay. Then that's all for today.
Okay.
If you have other suggestions or questions. We can do this here, but I suggest that it is probably a little bit more tiring than in the room, at least for me.
Okay.
Okay. So I stop share, and it will be put on my web page recording when it will be ready.